Port security guard. Again, this is a seasonal position. These positions are for the 2012 cruise ship season, May through October, and will not exceed 6 months. We will be responsible for port and pedestrian safety while cruise ships are in port, patrolling restricted and non-restricted areas of the city of Ketchikan, including pedestrian, crosswalks, and port facilities. Requirements: have the ability to work outside on your feet for 8 to 10 hours a day, regardless of weather conditions. Work nights, weekends, and holidays, and overtime may be required. Must have the equivalent of high school level competency in reading, writing, and mathematics. Able to pass a federal background check and possess a TWIC card or able to obtain one upon hire. And also must be able to obtain a valid Alaska driver's license upon hire. Open until all positions are filled, and pay on this position is $14 an hour. And we have an employer that's looking for ammonia refrigeration technician. Applicant must have good communication skills and ability to work as a team player. Strong ammonia refrigeration credentials and background is a must. Applicant is required to have an excellent mechanical aptitude and experience repairing and maintaining pneumatic, electrical, and hydraulic fish processing equipment. Knowledge of welding and fabrication is a plus. Work will be performed in the shop environment and also outdoors. Heavy lifting will be required, and overtime is also required. And this applicant must be willing to relocate to Ketchikan, Alaska, and pay on this position is depending on experience. And just as another note, the February workshop schedule is now available, so if anybody's interested in taking any of our workshops in February, that information is here at the Job Center. So come in and pick up one of our sheets, and you can decide which one you want to attend. Thank you for listening today. These job announcements are brought to you by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development at KRBD. The Ketchikan Job Center is located at 2030 Sea Level Drive, Suite 220. Our office hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. To view these and other employment opportunities, you can go to our website, and that's www.jobs.alaska.gov. Have a good weekend and drive carefully.
Spring semester is starting at the University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan campus. It's time to register. Classes start Tuesday, January 17th. For your convenience, the business office is open extended hours from January 9th through the 20th, Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Friday, 8 to 5. Visit our website at www.ketch.alaska.edu for a complete list of classes. UAS Ketchikan. Learn, engage, change.
Support for KRBD is provided by Timber and Marine Supply, featuring Evinrude, Honda, and Suzuki outboards, Easy Loader boat trailers, and Lund aluminum boats. Timber and Marine Supply, 225-6644, located next to Madison Lumber and Hardware on Tongass Avenue.
From Prince of Wales Island, this is Victoria Merritt with the City of Craig Recreation Department. Today we'll hear from Craig Public Librarian Amy Marshall. She'll update us on the renovations at the library, and from Jessica Lee about today's academic decathlon meet at the Craig High School, and from Katie Goodale. Now for the recreation news. The time has been extended until Wednesday, February 1st for signing up for the Winter Co-Ed Volleyball League. There'll be a 4-on-4 league and a 6-on-6 for B League. We have 4 4-on-4 teams and only one B League team. The cost is only $100 for the season for A League and $140 for B League. The hope is to get more teams to play. If you have questions, call me or stop by Open Gym for Volleyball Tuesday and Thursday at 7 at the Craig City Gym. It's just $1 to play. The first swap meet of 2012 will be held January 28th at the Craig City Gym from 9 until 1. Nonprofits are free. Others are $10 or 10% of sales if you sign up ahead of time, or $15 the day of the event. There'll be roller skating and rollerblading tonight at 7 for the whole family. Admission $1, rent skates or blades for $2. We also have an after-school skate on Tuesday afternoons at 3 and Fridays at 7. Starting in February, there'll be additional after-school programs with the Craig Middle School, and the Alaska Ice QS2 program will open the city gym on Thursdays at 3 for ages 10 to 8th grade. And the Craig Youth and Recreation Center will be open on Fridays from 2 until 4. Younger kids are welcome with a parent. A $1 entrance will be requested by the kids, but they can work it off if they don't have the cash.
Hi, this is Amy from the Craig Public Library. It's been quite a week for us over here. As you know, we've been closed. We took everything out of the library, books, shelves, furniture. It's all in a Connex by the library. We've pulled up carpet. We've sanded. We're getting ready to paint. We've got folks in there laying floor right now, and it looks like it's going to be a little longer than we thought, but that's kind of how these renovation projects go if you've ever done one at home. So I'm hoping to be open by Wednesday the 25th. Stay tuned for further updates. I'll have signs around town. I'll also be posting all the renovation pictures on Facebook if you're on the POW site, or the if you want to go and like the Craig Public Library, I'll be posting pictures there too. It's really exciting. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous, of course, when it gets done. And, you know, come over and see us. We'll have our video conferencing up. We're going to have a launch of the video conferencing on February 1st. We'll also be launching Geek the Library. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun this year at the Craig Public Library.
Are you still looking for some help?
So if anybody would like to paint, call 826-3281. And we'll set you up with a roller and paint. And we don't have a lot to paint, but, you know, it's a good time.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
90 years ago, on March 1st, Craig became a city. A celebration is being planned for that evening with a potluck, speakers, and entertainment. So mark that on your calendar. If you have old pictures of Craig you'd like to share, please let me know. 826-2575. Now for the Prince of Wales Island events. It's a busy weekend here in Craig. Middle school and Red Tide wrestlers are in Craig with teams from the island and I believe from Wrangell. And we have Craig High School basketball. The boys are in Metlakatla and the girls play Metlakatla at home. Saturday is senior night. And let's hear about the academic decathlon meet that starts today at 2.
My name is Jessica Lee. I'm the academic decathlon coach at Craig High School. This year, Craig is hosting one of the two regional meets. It will be January 20th and 21st at the high school.
What is academic decathlon?
Academic decathlon is 10 events, and the students come in and they take tests in these events, take tests on art, music, science, math, language and literature, super quiz, econ. They give speeches, they do interviews, and it's all around a theme. And this year's theme is the age of imperialism, focusing on European colonization of mostly of Africa, but also of United States.
So who's coming to the meet?
We will have students coming from Klawak, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Metlakatla, as well as the Craig students.
What's the schedule look like?
Friday, they will be taking tests. Saturday morning, they'll start with their speeches and interviews and finish the afternoon with tests. Saturday afternoon, beginning at about 3:30 to about 4 o'clock, there will be the oral super quiz, which the public is invited to come and watch.
Okay, it's kind of like a Jeopardy type.
Very much like that.
Okay, fun. And there's no charge?
No charge. Nope.
Okay.
Just come and watch.
Let's hear from Hope.
My name is Katie Goodale. I am the prevention coordinator for Hope, helping ourselves prevent emergencies. January is National Stalking Awareness Month. Stalking is a dangerous crime that affects 3.5 million Americans a year, and we're trying to make people aware that it is a crime and that there's hope for help. Hope is the Domestic Violence and Prevention Agency here on Prince of Wales Island. We're located in the Old Public Health Building behind Power. We offer advocacy services and prevention services. Our number there is 826-4673. We are currently looking for a full-time advocate. If you're interested in that, stop by the office or call us and we can get you more information.
Out in the rain, we'll be heading to the Control Lake Cabin on Saturdays. Meet at Wheelhouse at 9 o'clock in the morning if you'd like to attend. This is an early spring cleaning and maintenance, hot chocolate by the stove. If you have any questions, you can call Bob Claus or Tori Hauser, 826-1614. This is Victoria Merritt. Thank you for listening to KRBD Ketchikan.
This program made possible by Sea Alaska, a Native corporation working to strengthen business with culture, to benefit communities, the environment, and tribal member shareholders. Sea Alaska, a growing tradition. On the web at SeaAlaska.com.
Time to tarten up. Welcome to the Burns Supper for 2012. We have the address to the haggis, piping, Highland dancing, supper, and poetry.
Join us 28 January at the North Tongass Community Center. Tickets are $15 and are available at the Arts Council.
So, Hunter, we should tell everyone to bring their own refreshments, musical instruments, and poetry. Let's make this a Cayley.
An old-fashioned Cayley, indeed.
What's a keeling? Is that the tail end of a grouse or a party?
Oh, yes.
The Ketchikan Gateway School District is inviting the public to a budget meeting this Saturday, January 21st, at 4 p.m. in the K-High School Library. Input from the public is welcomed and wanted concerning budget cuts. That's this Saturday, January 21st, 4 p.m., K-High School Library.
Funding for public radio in Southeast Alaska is provided by First Bank, a community bank offering a variety of checking, savings, and investment accounts for both consumer and business. First Bank is member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender.
Earth, Sky.
In partnership with the Chemical Heritage Foundation and DuPont, Earth Sky presents Thanks to Chemistry. Today, Nina Fedorov, current president of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and a science leader in global food solutions for Earth's still growing population.
As the climate warms, there will be places that will get hotter and drier, and that's going to make it even more difficult to increase the food supply. And the experts are saying that we have to double the food supply by the middle of the century, and we don't have any more land and water to use. So how are we going to do that? That's the dilemma.
Dr. Fedorov spoke of what are called jumping genes, which are closely linked to mutations in plants. She said that over the centuries, improvements to crops have come about in part because of chance mutations caused by the sun's radiation, for example. Her work is about creating specific mutations in the lab aimed at helping plants do better at withstanding drought, heat, floods, and so on to help produce enough food.
The ability of plant genomes to change, which is largely promoted by jumping genes, is just essential to the whole process of creating enough food to support this enormous population of people that we have today and more tomorrow.
Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for KRBD comes from BP. BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska.
As executive director of Ketchikan Medical Center Foundation, I work together with grateful patients, employees, and community members to provide the technology and services needed for the region. It is an honor to hear their stories and invest their gifts back into our community. My name is Penny Peterson, and I am the Spirit of Healing.
KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, no more MSC certification for Alaska salmon after this season. The Board of Fish is meeting right now in Petersburg, and more weather causing concerns for fishermen. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
75% of Alaska salmon packers have decided to pull out of the Marine Stewardship Council's fisheries certification program when the current agreement expires at the end of October. Those processors are Trident, Icicle, Ocean Beauty, Peter Pan, Alaska General, E&E, QuickPak, and North Pacific. The board of the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation concurred with the move on Monday. That organization has been the MSC client since February 2010, after the Alaska Department of Fish and Game pulled out as the client for the Alaska salmon catch. In an announcement Tuesday, AFDF Executive Director James Browning said his organization would continue to work this year to ensure the 2012 Alaska salmon harvest remains eligible to carry the MSC logo. In 2011, the MSC certified 287,000 metric tons of Alaska salmon, or 8.7% of all the fisheries the London-based organization certifies. MSC certification had once been a rare and valued indicator of a fishery's sustainability, but as more and more fisheries became certified, the cachet has diminished. according to industry watcher John Sacton of seafood.com. He said in an editorial published Wednesday that the certification became not so much a marketing advantage as simply a price of entry into mainstream retail sales.
The fact is that once a great majority or a lot of fisheries are sustainable, the fact that you have a sustainable seal or a certificate is no longer a strategic marketing advantage. And what the Alaskan producers have found is that they would be better off spending their marketing money to promote the intrinsic values of Alaska salmon and the product benefits. As AFSCME Executive Director Ray Ryuta said, Alaska salmon has a lot more things to offer than simply the fact that it's sustainable.
Ryuta said in an announcement that AMSI will provide third-party certification through the Alaska FAO-based Responsible Fisheries Management Program. FAO is the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. AFSCME spokesman Tyson Fix says the cost for the program will not be passed on to producers. According to a McDowell Group study in 2008, MSC certification cost Fish and Game $2.7 million, with individual processor costs ranging from $4,000 to $180,000. Fix says the cost today is likely higher. United Fishermen of Alaska President Arnie Thompson welcomed the announcement, saying it was in the best interest of the Alaska salmon fishery. The state's Board of Fisheries is considering dozens of proposed changes to Southeast Alaska's crab, shrimp, and dive fisheries this week in Petersburg. The week-long meeting at the Sons of Norway Hall kicked off last Sunday morning. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Commissioner and former Petersburg resident Cora Campbell welcomed the board and other meeting participants.
I was born here and raised here, and it's really nice for me to be able to return home this weekend and see familiar faces and old friends. And as you could tell, the community is very excited to be hosting this meeting and hosting all of you. And I was visiting with the chairman yesterday and mentioned to him that I actually attended my first Board of Fish meeting in this building 25 years ago.
The board has heard public testimony so far on proposals to change seasons, gear, and other regulations for Southeast shellfish and dive fisheries. The meeting is scheduled to last into Saturday. Meanwhile, the state's Board of Fish has voted down a proposal to keep commercial red king crabbers out of the waters around Juneau. Proposals to increase the chances for opening the region's commercial season every year also failed to get board support. Joe Vicnicki has more.
The Juneau-based hunting and fishing group Territorial Sportsmen wanted the board to allocate all the red and blue king crab in District 11A to personal-use crabbers, people catching crab for their dinner tables. The group's Wayne Regland said Juneau residents have complained to him about restricted seasons and a smaller crab catch.
So we had a very small season. We took probably about 1,200 crab, less than one per person. Still with this very restrictive personal-use fishery, there was a commercial harvest in November, and this made many people in Juneau extremely unhappy. They're dissatisfied with this, and they blame the commercial fishermen. Rightly or wrongly, they feel that the low population is due to commercial fishing.
The commercial fleet is allowed to catch 40% of the guideline harvest level set each year in 11A, and the rest goes on to personal use. Last fall's commercial harvest was nearly 1,100 red king crab. The commercial fishing organization, the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association, opposed the exclusion of the fishing fleet. Julianne Curry is the PVOA's executive director.
I think that sometimes people tend to forget that the commercial fishery helps provide food for the public, the American public. And if people are going to the restaurants in Juneau and you're seeing king crab on the menu, that king crab has come from the commercial fishery. So this year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game did a very good job of managing that red king crab fishery, and we're still gathering additional data. But that fishery was only open for 24 hours in the Juneau area, and the two people who participated in the Juneau area fishery for commercial were both from Juneau. So I would hope that those guys get to continue to fish in their own backyard.
Juneau's Fish and Game Advisory Committee also did not recommend the change. Board member and former Juneau resident Tom Kluberton opposed it, noting that both personal use and commercial crabbers have seen fishing restrictions.
I think as a board, that's our responsibility to ensure that burden of conservation is shared. You know, I'd love to be able to hop in the skiff and ride out there and catch a king crab or two or three or four, but You know, if I look at the Constitution and think common use property fisheries, I live at Talkeetna, and my common use ability is to go to Costco and buy a box of king crab. So without the commercial guys catching them, I can't do that.
The board voted 6-0 against the proposal, with board member and commercial fisherman John Jensen of Petersburg sitting out the vote. The board also rejected two proposals that sought to open the commercial fishery in Southeast, even when Fish and Game's estimated surplus of crab falls below a 200,000-pound threshold. That minimum was once set at 300,000 pounds, and it was put in place because it didn't make economic sense for the fleet to go crabbing at lower harvest levels. However, that's changed due to high prices paid for the crab, and fisherman Lad Norheim of Petersburg said it now makes sense to open the fishery even at 50,000 pounds.
A lot of us still have payments. New young guys are getting into the fishery, and it definitely helps, especially with the prices, live markets, the way we market things. The 300,000-pound threshold was, you know, you catch them, you bring them in, you tear their heads off, you freeze it, and away it goes. Well, not necessarily now. The whole market has changed, and you know, from the gooey ducks to the king crab.
Last fall, the price neared $11 a pound, more than double the price when it opened up last 6 years ago. It has been closed because of poor crab stocks. Board member Bill Brown of Juneau did not want to open the fishery with lower crab numbers.
From a good report we had yesterday, that while we're making lots of progress counting the number of crabs, there's still lots of error involved, and I would be concerned about nudging below 200,000, allow a fishing to take place below 200,000, when we may have measurement errors, when there is potentially biological concern. Mr. Chair, I'm not going to be able to favor this because I think there's too much uncertainty for biological reasons, Mr. Chair.
The vote was also 6-0 against that change. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
We'll have more on public testimony and the board's decisions next week on the Alaska Fisheries Report. Meanwhile, on the opposite side of the Gulf, Trident Seafoods posted a price this week in Sandpoint for canner crab of $2.75 per pound for number ones. Number twos are about a dollar less. You don't want to know what number threes are going for. The price is reportedly up to $3 a pound around Kodiak.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs.
The Fisheries Report is brought to you by Murray Pacific, the name fish fear most. Located at 1050 Water Street, open year-round. 225-3135 for information.
KYI Giant Garage Sale was postponed due to weather concerns. Now, Saturday, January 21st at the mall. To help or donate, call 617-5990. Great stuff. Furniture, clothing, electronics, books, CDs, luggage, fishing poles, dishes, you name it. Benefits programming for youth and young adults. See you next Saturday, 9 to 6 at the mall. 617-5990.
We have a winter storm warning, the remaining effect till 9 a.m., with projected 14 to 22 inches of snow, highest amounts expected near Ketchikan, and the snow will be drier than usual. Heaviest snow will occur Friday afternoon through early Saturday morning. Looking at the community calendar, there's a free workshop, Introduction to Microsoft Excel from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Ketchikan Job Center. Story time begins at 10:30 a.m. downstairs at the Ketchikan Public Library. There's an opening reception from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Tongass Historical Museum for the new exhibit, Forest of Words, Youth Voices Celebrate the Tongass National Forest. And the Al-Anon group meets each Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church on 2nd Avenue. The Friday Night Insight program begins at 7 p.m. at the Southeast Alaska Discovery Center at 50 Main Street in Ketchikan. This week, part 2 of the movie The Greatest Good will be shown. And the Jazz and Cabaret Festival performs tonight and tomorrow at Ted Ferry Civic Center. Doors open at 7 p.m. You're listening to KRBD Ketchikan. It's 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. Coming up, conversation with Mayor Lou Williams III on last night's City Council meeting. As promised, there was a city council meeting last night, and joining us on the phone, Mayor Lou Williams III, to talk about last night's meeting. Thank you for joining us, sir. It's, you know, it's not a normal morning out there, is it?
Well, thanks first for having me, Keith. It is, and I'm sitting out here at Mountain Point. I can give you a weather report. It's snowing, and I'm trying to collect employees so they can get to work. But I'm happy to stop and give you a report on what happened at the council meeting last night.
Yeah, looking at...
Anything specific you want to get into?
Well, looking at the newspaper, it seems like a lot of the discussion and if there was controversy revolved around, and maybe this isn't unusual, the leases on the dock to the tour vendors.
Yeah, it was the contracts that come up, you know, about every 3 years. And so when you bid them out again, it can be competitive. That's a competitive business down there. We had six that we approved. There were three appeals by three different companies, which the council voted each one of those appeals down, then followed the recommendation of the Port and Harbor and city management, and they gave birth to Ketchikan Tours, Ketchikan Sightseeing, All Island Tours, Sourdough Tours of Ketchikan, Deli Enterprises, and Northern Tours. It was interesting. This is the biggest amount of money we've gotten from these tour guys. The top bidder, and this isn't us giving them money, this is them giving us money, is going to pay $16,500 a month to the city to have one of those six booths down there. The second highest was $12,151. The third was $11,301. Then it went down to 9,400, and then 9,000, and then 8611 was the lowest one from Northern Tours. So those were the top six guys. And it's competitive. They, you know, they've been a lot of these guys have been down there for a long time, and it's interesting. It seems to take up some of the council's business every year because during that, you know, these guys during the summer. They have issues, too, that they want to discuss. So I'm just glad we got the bidding done. The council, I mean, the city is going to make the most money off that they've ever had in the lifetime of the program.
Now, is that so, like a five-month lease?
Yeah, I believe it's May through September.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be interesting to see if these things have hit a mark. I mean, are over projecting the market or not. We'll find out if, you know, they don't can't make the payments, so it'll be interesting just to see how much they can afford down there. And we approved also the two food booths down there. And it's sort of interesting, like on the food booths, they came in at the highest amount, too. Both of them were around $5,000. And because of the amount of money that they're willing to pay us, it actually has to come to the council now, so we have to approve it in two readings. Before, we you know, we leased those last year for $2,000 and $3,000. So... Some entrepreneurs around here think they can make some money down there, and the city port department will benefit from it.
Now, does that revenue go directly to the ports and harbors department, or is it just
Correct.
Going to the general
to the
fund?
Port. To the port.
Now, with obviously these booths must be lucrative, and there's high competition. Is there any consideration or discussion last night's meeting about possibly finding space for more, or is the space kind of tapped out?
Well, you get that's another issue that sort of divides everybody down there. Some say, you know, now with these even higher prices, that it's going to be tougher to make a buck, so you don't want to split up the you know, number of booths, adding more booths, splitting up the amount of people that can, or adding more people that can draw from the same amount of tourists. So some think, have recommended at the meeting, hey, maybe add some booths. Others say it would dilute the other guys making money. So every issue seems to divide everybody a different way.
That's politics, isn't it?
Yeah. There
you go. No, so it sounds like at least if they did that, they would wait till these leases expired before they added more space.
Well, I did this for 3 years, so after 3 years, I imagine they can look at it. I mean, I've heard council members interested in it. We almost had a vote on it earlier this year, but after they talked about doing such a thing, nobody made a motion to expand the number. So right now we're at 6, but 2 food booths added to that. So there's 8 booths total down there, but 2 of them are food.
Now, as usual on the agenda, there's a lot of little things, just as you do business. The city obviously has a ton of projects that you guys are keeping track of. In your own mind, just in the limited time that we do have, what sticks out for you as the things that it's be most important for the citizens to know about? I know that you're looking into ordinance for increasing wastewater rates. What else?
Yep, that was approved in second reading. Next will come, I mean, this one wasn't, you know, we got a special meeting next week just on wastewater information because we have a lot of wastewater issues, you know, starting with Denali, which, you know, blew a year or two ago and caused a lot of problems up there. We got other areas that we need to deal with, and we need to have some funds to be able to tackle these. And this next meeting will be really interesting on Thursday. They're going to show us, you know, what our needs are, what kind of rates we want, and I know the rates they're going to say we need where nobody's going to want to do, and so, but will give us an idea of where, what we're looking for in the future. The one thing Ketchikan is turning and focusing is to take care of these infrastructure projects, and that's going to be something that we're going to have to focus on for the next several years. You know, we're going to be able to not look at them. Otherwise, they're going to break in our face. So, you know, and we've started. We've started on Jackson Street. We're going to be over on Alaska Avenue. So, you know, we're not not doing it, but, you know, it's going to be more of a focus. The other things on the agenda that were brought up, well, we had one thing, a management review of the Human Resources Department. Matrix Consulting was going to come up and give us a presentation on the review of HR. And unfortunately, with the weather, they weren't able to get out of Seattle yesterday. So we're going to make that a special meeting in February, and we're going to have a meeting separate to it because there's a lot of information. We also recognized John Parsons, who has worked at the Ports and Harbor Department for 30 years. He has retired. We had a proclamation for him. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to accept it. He was already south for some personal business. We did an amendment for design work for P&D engineering. One thing you'll be seeing is we're out there at Bar Harbor, we're working to, you know, that launch ramp down there. We're working to widen that so you can launch 2 boats at the same time. So this interferes with the grid down there. It's not going to cut down, it'll cut down some space, but not the size of the grid. And we're going to redo some stacked blocks there that hold up right next to the grid, or hold up the grid. We're going to be doing that. So right now it's limited on what size a boat can get in there because it's starting to lean. So you'll see a lot of work down there. And those are great improvements. Everybody wanted that extended launch ramp. So, you know, right now if the duck boat goes down there, nobody else can launch because it's so big. So 2 would make it so a duck boat and other people's private boats could all do it at the same time. So it's a much-needed thing, and everybody's excited about that project. Carson Dorn also had a little report on the old hospital. They told us it looks like it's going to cost us about $600,000 to take that down. mm-hmm. Which is good. I think we budgeted like a million for it. They told us the next step to do, and one thing we're going to do is when we knock it down, we're going to be dumping a lot of it. I'm putting it up in a up at our own landfill, and there's some things we can get. We don't have to bait everything because nobody's going to go into the building and get into the walls and everything. So we're going through the process of being able to put it up in a special spot up at our own landfill, get it covered up, and it's going to save us some money, but plus we can get moving on getting this taken down. So I was really excited about that, so we'll start seeing some action here on that process.
Could I just ask you one question, sir, about the boat launch? Is there a projected time when people won't be able to launch their boats as the construction proceeds, and that is, has that been discussed yet?
I do not know, and that didn't come up during discussions. But I can get that information for the next time when I'm on.
Right, sure.
And as the project moves along, because they're doing design right now, so mm-hmm. We're not talking in the construction phase. And then there was also an agreement, a professional service agreement with Ketchikan Arts and Humanities. We're building the public library up there. We do have some money set aside for public art. I think there's three different projects, the Arts and Humanities through. I think it's they have a group called KPAW, and they mm-hmm. decide, you know, which art is going to be purchased. And so we came up with that agreement, and so they can move ahead with that. Let's see. There was a reconsideration for the vote we took last Thursday for the Ketchikan Medical Center addition. That was Council Member Olson, and that was voted down. It failed to be reconsidered 5-2. So we'll continue on the process on that. He had some questions. I think the questions he had were answered before it ever came mm-hmm. to the council again here, but it was voted down. There was also a reconsideration on some pay adjustments and that we had budgeted in the budget, but then they voted down last meeting. That was also voted down, so they did not reconsider that. And one thing we did was the city council joined the Alaska Miners Association membership. And there was some wanted to do the $500 level. And council member Bergeron and Carlson, both who are really wanting to be involved with the Alaska Miners Association, wanted to make a statement to the mining industry that Ketchikan is full in and ready to work with the industry. And so it was voted 5-2 to do a $5,000 membership and show the industry that Ketchikan is serious about mining and mining in the future, and we want to work with them. So the other thing that came up is we also have some parking issues up on by Cedar and Main. We have looked at a whole bunch of different ideas after the city attorney reviewed a lot of the things for leasing property or to putting up parking tickets. I'm not tickets, but parking stickers or whatever. All that sort of fell off the side. We couldn't come up with a plan. So now I came back with the council because there's other areas in town that have some parking issues on how we solve it. And the only thing we can think of is adding new parking, not maybe smaller areas of parking. And so the council gave me permission to work with the Public Works Department to, in that area to see if there's some area where we could make some new parking mm-hmm. if we have to buy a piece of property or whatever, but look around that area and see if that would, that would be the solution, and it's just a matter of what the cost is. But they continue the process instead of just saying, no, there's something we can do, because it is a real concern in these older neighborhoods that parking is very critical. Okay. Anything else?
No, I think that from what I'm looking, that's fairly exhaustive. Really appreciate you being able to call in while you're out there collecting your employees. And just encourage you to drive safely. Always a pleasure to have you on. Look forward to talking to you in the future about what's going on in the Ketchikan City Council.
Hey, thanks a lot, Keith.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You too.